I have Dino Esposito here in my room, and you are a hero for me because I heard you the first time, I think in 99 or something like that, in London at the Rocks conference.
Oh yeah, it was November 99. Yeah.
Yeah. And from that on, I have always been listening to what you says and writes. But 99, was it then the ASP Plus was first announced?
Yeah, I think that in that conference, me and you and all the other, I don't know, hundreds of people there, we had the chance, the great chance of looking at what Scott Guthrie and Mark Anders were presenting, what they called it ASP Plus, ASP Plus. And was probably the very, very early version of what 1 year later would have become ASP.NET, the new platform. And it's interesting to say that the inspiring principles that we saw in 99 are still the inspiring principles of the application model that ASP.NET Web Forms today, version 4, just released.
I was working with ASP at that time, and for me ASP.NET was something marvelous, new thing. Was it that for you also?
But absolutely. ASP.NET was devised about 10, 12 years ago just to address the needs of developers that developers were having at that time. So it was essentially made taking the current best practices of ASP, Active Server Pages Classic development, and just engineered, they just engineered them into this new platform that was then taking advantage and full benefit of .NET capabilities like shared languages, common runtime, a framework, a class-based framework, and similar features. So,
it's 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago. And this is a good statement for the quality, the overall quality of ASP.NET, because it lasted more than 10 years. And consider that, I like to say that in geek years, the number 10 is kind of equivalent to a geological era. So it's huge amount of time. And a software product that happily survived through a few versions, but it's the same core architecture that survived 10 years, is a great statement about the quality of what was devised at that time. And when I recently met Scott Guthrie, now VP of .NET development at Microsoft, I met him last time in November at Dev Connections in the United States in Las Vegas, and I told him, I mean, the fact that now the new baby, emerging baby, ASP.NET MVC, is still based on the same runtime that was that you devised 12 years ago, it's the best compliment I can make, and the best thing I can tell about you and your work and your creativity, your capability. And he smiled.
Now I hear my customers and partners are starting talking about ASP.NET Classic. You said, ASP Classic.
In my book, I just finished the book on ASP.NET MVC, which will be available, probably will be the first book to hit the marketplace about MVC 2, the next version that comes with 2010. And I refer to ASP.NET as Classic ASP.NET. In Classic ASP.NET, you do this. In MVC, you do this completely different set of things.
Why do we need a new MVC framework then? And what's the main complaints about ASP.NET Classic or ASP.NET Web Forms, as we say also?
I think that the key fact to take into account is that, as we were already saying a few moments ago, is AMV Classic ASP.NET was devised about 10 years ago for what were the needs of developers at that time. To some extent, these needs have changed in 10 years, which is a completely reasonable thing. 10 years are a lot of time, and for technology. So the world changes in 10 years. The world of software and the world of web applications has significantly changed due essentially to a couple of factors. The first one is the increased complexity of applications. This is a more general factor that goes even beyond the world of web. And consider that in the 80s, 90s, we had object orientation. I graduated 20 years ago, And when I graduated from the University of Pisa in Italy, it was one, at the time was one of the best European universities for computers, one of the few universities in Europe. And when I graduated then, we were just moving towards object orientations from procedural Pascal programming. So in the 90s, mid-90s, we had people like the Gang of Four. We had people who invented the UML, who invented use cases, who invented the principles of object-oriented design. And we had standard template libraries, just to mention a number of things that we had in the 90s, to make programming move towards object orientation. But at the same time, the real people in the real world, not necessarily highly skilled people, were using Visual Basic for building applications. The real applications that people was using at the time. And to make it short, to cut a long story short, we had tools like object orientation to handle high degrees of complexity, but we didn't have that complexity in the applications we were called to write. For the real applications we were called to write in the 90s, Visual Basic was more than enough. So Microsoft was great at figuring that out. Visual Basic is probably one of the best inventions in the whole history of software. And from Visual Basic, it came RAD, Rapid Application Development, which was the paradigm that was widely used over the web with ASP.NET. ASP.Net.
Do you remember web forms? You know, Visual Basic web forms.
But sure, but yeah. Absolutely, yeah. But that was exactly what people wanted. The people coming from Visual Basic experience, or had just with ASP.NET found the same pattern, the same paradigm.
I meant the thing that we had before is in just one version of Visual Basic, with the Visual Basic Web Forms project. It was a different kind. We did the ActiveX control and hosted it in the browser. Do you remember that?
I have a faint memory of that. I have a very faint memory of that. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah. But I have a very faint memory. I have a very faint memory. Yeah.
No.
Actually, I think that I in one of my books, I don't know exactly if this one or one of the previous book, I call that some sort of, I mean, we had a, trying to summarize the history of the web, I say we had some vivid meteors. We had some vivid stars like, you know, ASP.NET, and then some meteors like this kind of ActiveX document. I call that as a meteor.
But the complexity was one thing that drives us to MVC. Exactly. But another thing, more...
Complexity, I mean, just complexity, why complexity? Because now, with .NET available, with companies happening to have with the advent of internet and with the .NET available, where they had an important, powerful platform for building apps to deliver completely new services over the internet. And a large section of the information technology that companies and the information systems that application that companies had was moved and delivered over the webs. But not just the front end, but also business layers and the back end. So that, you know, thrown against developers a huge amount of complexity, because it was a matter of building line of business applications from the ground up and having a web front end. So this raised, you know, when you have to handle complexity, you have a completely set of needs. You need to be able to test, you need to be able to maintain, you need to be able to scale applications. So layering, separation of concerns, testabilities were all new factors to take into account to handle, to be able to deal with the growing complexity. Factor number one. Factor number two, the advent of Ajax in the specific world of the web. Ajax meant that we now want to be able to run more logic on the client. But because of the particular characteristics of web applications, we deliver HTML to the browser. And the browser builds up a model of what we serve as HTML, and this document object model is a collection, a graph of objects that you can program against using JavaScript. Ajax is a way to extend the JavaScript you can have hosted in the browser to go back to the server asynchronously, grab some data, doesn't matter, JSON, XML, whatever it is, bring those data back to the client, and then you need to do something with that data. You need to update dynamically, programmatically, but entirely client-side, the document object model you have. And this poses an issue, because how can you identify in JavaScript portions of HTML whose logic, whose structure has been devised on the server? Imagine you have a data grid, you have a server control in your SPX page, you output a data grid. Now this data grid, say, contains, you know, a live score, contains stock market numbers, whatever piece of data that can be refreshed periodically. It means that you, without refreshing the page typically, so you go with AJAX to the server, grabs data, brings data to the client, and then how can you refresh the grid? You need to know exactly which IDs.
That has been one of the critics with the web forms, that there's so much HTML that are generated on the client that it's really hard to work with JavaScript against it.
Exactly. That was one. It's just you don't control the HTML. And even if you can control that, you have to do that through a number of acts. And you cannot have the level of control over HTML that you need to work with AJAX. And AJAX means then jQuery, and then all the frameworks and libraries and the technologies that you use every day on the web. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you remember it, when Scott Guthrie was first introducing ASP.NET, he said, he presented as one of the best-selling points the fact that with server controls, you don't need to have any sort of exposure to HTML and JavaScript. At the 10 years ago, that was a very strong point of the framework. Today, this is now the weakest point of web forms. This is things over 10 years change.
What do you think? Now we have more richer clients with AJAX and so on. What do you think in the future? Should we? I think that you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that AJAX have some limitations that soon will be more seen when we use AJAX too much on the page. Do you think that's the price we have to pay, or that this will occur, or do you think that we'll have better browsers that will support better AJAX support? We know that IE9, for example, will have compiled JavaScript. Or what do you think about the future of this kind of application that are delivered on the web?
Well,
is it too big question?
No, it's not a big question. It's how much we are probably thinking about dreams. But sometimes dreaming is the best way to try to foresee the future. Mm-hmm. Let me reveal a little anecdote that very few people know, but so that now 3 million people, 20 million people will know it. But there was one of the editors at RockPress that in, I think it was in the spring of 99 or sort of that, he sent me and a few other guys an email and said, I'm going to go to Redmond for a very, very private secret meeting where Microsoft will unveil to publishers their plans, what they're doing in the future. And if you guys have some ideas that we can bring, because they want to show us what they're doing and they want to hear from us what we would like to have in the next Windows platform. And okay, say, so I wrote my in the email I put some text like, I have a dream. And my dream is that of having a unique Windows platform with one API exposed in terms of classes, and I want to be able to use this API using one language, or in a way that is completely irrespectful of the language. So using Visual Basic, using Delphi, using C++, using C, I want to be able to call in the same way those classes, because before in the 90s, if you were using Visual Basic, you had to learn how to interface the Windows API. If you were using C, that was natural. If you were using C++, so an object-oriented language, you need to use an adaptation layer to call into class.
Daniel Appleman's book.
Exactly. So that was, you know, whatever the language was not. The language was an architectural choice for a project because choosing the language would have enabled or disabled certain features. So I said, I dream of a world in which you, regardless of the language, are able to address the same API, and I would like this API to be in terms of classes. That is my dream. And when a few weeks later, when the guy got back to me, he said, you know, your dreams probably will come true sooner than you can expect.
And you mean .NET, of course?
Exactly, yeah. And it was .NET, and it was .NET, and it was
so .NET. What do you dream about now? Exactly. What now? Have to listen very carefully.
So what I dream now is essentially, yeah, a browser that offers a more powerful way of writing code. Because today, with JavaScript, we are subject to the browser implementation of JavaScript. In terms of common features, and the fact that some browsers may have slightly different, you know, implementations of JavaScript in terms of performance, in terms of features, language features, and then we have the DOM. That could be different. So I would like to, and in general, the DOM anyway, the document object model, is a representation of the page, but the language it represents, so HTML is still the HTML that was devised by guys at CERN in the early 90s, so it's a way to represent a document, not a way to represent the front end of an application. So it's a document language, it's not an application delivery format. So I dream of a language to express the UI in a way that is closer to the user interface, not to a document, and powerful languages, client-side, common, regardless of the browser, that can help us to work in some way. So I dream of browsers that are exactly the same, and I'm pretty much sure that as long as we rely on browsers to provide support for language, HTML, and support for JavaScript or whatever is the language, we are stuck to differences between vendors. So my dream is that it's the operating system that provides to browsers an API for them to, you know, program against and show against UIs. So I expect some sort of XAML or HTML to be at the operating system level. So it's exactly the same for whatever browser you happen to have. Yeah. But it's a dream. So it's a dream. And trying to move towards what I honestly believe is more likely to happen is, so in terms of what is the future evolution of web applications, is things like two big groups of web applications. Those that are entirely client or largely extensively based on client-side code, and now given also the recent announcement from Microsoft that they are dropping ASP.NET Ajax development to embrace entirely the jQuery experience, I think thanks God, it was about time. And also, given this fact, the future, the core technology will be jQuery, probably, extensive JavaScript applications. And on the other end, applications that are essentially server-based, but probably I do believe that ASP.NET MVC is the way to go. In a couple of years, it will completely replace web forms, but not because Microsoft is expected to drop development and efforts in web forms, because I'm sure that many more people will see MVC as the only viable way to go, because it's a much better platform for the needs we have today. So server-side applications, but server-side applications still need to have some Ajax capabilities. And I dream of this server-side framework, so MVC, to be able to incorporate a unique API that offers me web actions, Ajax. So I don't want to force myself to learn the way in which MVC does Ajax, the way in which Webform does Ajax. I want to be able to refresh a grid regardless. I want to be able to post a form regardless. And in the worst, in the most that you can ask me is turning on and off a Boolean flag, Ajax, no Ajax. And based on that, I want to be able to post my forms, Ajax or not. It doesn't have to be me to take care of the details of how you configure the form and the JavaScript that you need to call to work around the form submission process. Ajax has been here for now 4 or 5 years. It's about time that we just talk back about the web, and the web incorporates Ajax. So Ajax doesn't have to be an extra attribute you add to the web. Ajax is the web, period. So it's a matter of upgrading all programming APIs to incorporate Ajax natively. And the most I expect is a Boolean flag. Ajax on, Ajax off.
Thank you. I hope really, Dino, that your dream will come through.
Yeah, but the Ajax on, Ajax off, it's something closer that you may expect. Maybe not from Microsoft today or tomorrow, but as a company, if you invest just a little bit of time to create and update your own small piece of code. I mean, in my book, I have some examples. In my MVC book, I have some examples of what I mean here. I just switch from, you know, from Ajax Data Grid Helper to Ajax or HTML Pager, and they work effectively. And all the complexity of switching between one API or the other has been hidden into my classes. They are my classes that I wrote in a couple of days, but as an individual in a team, every company can do that, and hopefully also Microsoft, with all the power they have, can do that and make it available to everybody.
Thank you that you took your time to speak with me. Thank you.
My pleasure.